Tim, you know why I love that song? Because Jeremy by Pearl Jam, talking about Jeremy Roenick. You guys pick up on that? Anybody pick up on that? Yeah. Did you even pick up on that?
We talked about Roenick like at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, right? that was an hour and a half ago.
That was very 9:05 a.m. today. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Darren Ford.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Darren Ford of JetsOwner.com. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
How are you doing, guys and girls? Leah, how are you?
I'm good, Darren. How are you doing?
Hey, great job with the gala dinner from the wine festival, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. It was a lovely evening. Were you there?
We did.
I run a liquor agency, so I'm there. Absolutely.
Oh, fantastic. You didn't come and say hello.
Well, no, I'll come give you a big bear hug next time.
All right, sounds good.
So, Darren, what was your favorite wine that you tasted?
All of mine.
Oh.
Which ones were yours?
You know, we didn't have any actual dinner, but we represent things like Oyster Bay and some great products. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Then I won't say other names of wines because I have them. I have the little cards they gave us still. Anyways.
Good.
So, Darren, in addition to being the founder of JetsOwner.com, are you also a wine connoisseur?
Absolutely. Yeah, I took my sommelier stuff, and that's been a passion of mine. And I, you know, turned a career into a passion into a career, I should say.
That's
and,
the way to do it.
Well, this hockey thing, I tell you, it's been probably more of my time for the past 8 years. So I don't have the benefit of just living this for 6 months like some people getting into it. But for 8 years, I've been living this dream. So,
well, Darren, I don't know if you've heard of this wine, but I really like a Wolf Blast. So that's my favorite wine. That's the only wine I know. I just go to that default. But well, obviously, we're going to have you on to talk about right now to talk about some of the, you know, ownership issues and how that relates to possibly an NHL team coming back. But we want to talk to you first about JetsOwner.com, because you founded that website. Was it 2003?
June of 03, yeah.
June of 03, okay. And so, you know, we're approaching 8 years to go with that website. And, you know, we wanted to ask you, do you kind of find that you have a sense of validation now that people who called you, you know, maybe a dreamer have come around to your point of view now that Winnipeg is a viable market for hockey?
You know, I'd be lying if I didn't say there's a little vindication. I mean, we're not across the finish line yet, but we can see it. I tend to take the high road, though, on things like this. I mean, it does feel good in some respect, I will admit, but at the same time, this isn't just my dream. This is, you know, everyone's, and so many people have been behind me along the way. I didn't think it was ingenious back then. It was just a little more ballsy to put the name in the line and go out and do it, but I really saw these things coming together, and if you told me it would be 8 years, I might have cringed a bit back then, but I still saw it all falling into place, and along the way, I just made some incredible contacts and friends, and which is why I've kind of toned down on the rhetoric on the site a little bit, just because I don't want to cross any lines with the people that I met and had the you know, the fortune of getting to know really well. So, but it's, I tell you, we've been on the correct track for a long time.
Darren, it's Dave here. You know what? I follow it. I read the forum occasionally, and you know, I notice that the active users have gone up tremendously, especially like you said, in the last 6 months. You've had probably, like, you know, I don't know, hundreds if not thousands have been joining the site. So, like, what does that tell you about interest for NHL hockey returning to the city?
Well, it's always been there, and I just know a lot of people, you know, in terms of the message boards and whatnot, they view it and don't necessarily take part, which I completely understand. It's really become organized chaos. But you've got people that have just kind of started to believe officially now in the past year, mixing with those that have believed for many, many years. And, you know, it seems to be the ones that are newer that are the most impatient, and because a lot of us have just been kind of riding this roller coaster for so long. And I've been trying to drop hints along the way that, you know, it's funny how people say, well, I guess we're moving to Plan B now with Atlanta. It's not moving to Plan B. That's Plan A. Plan B was Phoenix, and I don't think that the folks at True North really had their, you know, their sights on our old team. And but that being said, it's the NHL, like Leah said, it's the NHL that controls this. They're the brokers. They're going to decide. But True North has played such proper due process in this, and they played by the rules so well. We're going to end up on top.
Now, Darren, your return of the Jets meter has been sitting at about 96% for a little while now. I got to ask you, what did you think when you saw or you heard about TSN's Jets meter? You must have been thinking, hey, I copyrighted that.
Well, you know what? I didn't, but I got a hold of Dave Naylor and had a little chuckle because he spent about 4 hours at my house last year when he was doing his What About Canada stories. Mm-hmm. And you know, he kind of was saying, yeah, you know, he kind of got a little idea from there, but no worries. It's all, as long as it helps push the cause, I'm happy. So mine's the Jet O-meter. There's the Jet meter. So there you go.
Got it.
We are joined with Darren Ford of JetsOwner.com and the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And Darren, we have to say that, you know, I believe it was Richard that cheered you on the show. Like, obviously, we're happy that TSN put the Jets meter up, but I think it was actually Richie that gave you our cheer for being the original, creator of that Jets meter and starting that back in the day. So we wanted to let you know too that, you know, we gave you props for that, many months ago when it first came on. But
no, I appreciate it. You know, it started at 8%, so. I remember getting my hiking boots on and starting to climb this mountain. So, and like I said, it's just a grassroots movement. It's just telling people, don't be afraid to believe. All these, you know, the Red Sevens do have to line up, but they're about to line up.
Darren, we wanted to ask you a little bit about social media. Obviously, you know, the internet was where people followed, you know, basically kind of your idea. And how have you? What's your opinion on, you know, social media, Facebook and Twitter specifically, and how social media has been used to basically cover the story? People have obviously created news and made news up. Recently someone on Twitter, you know, was basically on the front page of the Winnipeg Sun because she made up a story. What are your overall thoughts on how social media has been used to you know, create news for the story and follow news?
Well, then that's the key word, create. And, there's pros and cons to all this modern-day social media. When I started the website, it was just prior to all this Facebook and Twitter kind of rage, right? So I decided to opt out of creating, two, three different sites and confusing people. I just kept it as it is. It seemed to be working. Recently got a little bit on the Twitter, but, in the past couple of years, a lot of people approached me, let's do a Facebook thing, but I really had to keep, because my name is so attached to this now, I really had to keep control because it can get out of hand. You know, like you say, it can be a grade 12 girl in Edmonton and whip everyone up into a frenzy in North America in one click of your BlackBerry. So it can get a little out of hand and scary because you're starting to play with people's heartstrings now, and that's something that I've had to be very careful about because it's such an emotionally driven topic, as everyone here knows in this province. And now, I mean, I love how the NHL says, you know, we don't want to give false hope, and well, it's too late, you know, guys. it's well past the point of not getting people whipped up into a frenzy. And so, to your point, though, to your question, that social media can be very beneficial but very detrimental. It depends how you use it.
So, you know, Darren, I agree with you, and more to the point that you just brought up. How do you feel about Winnipeg's being used as leverage? Do you feel that plays into it at all? That we're, are you at all concerned that, I mean, I understand and I agree with you that True North is gunning for a team, but the question is, do you feel that the NHL uses Winnipeg and, I mean, has been using Winnipeg for a number of years to prop up some of these teams?
As a pawn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what's your thought on that?
I can tell you that True North is very accepting as the role of being used as leverage, especially in the desert there. They're well aware that was kind of the case, I think. At the same time, for lack of a better term, there's a lot of brownie points involved. And, never stepping up to the microphone. A guy like Mark Shipman, you're never going to see him in front of a podium until there's great news. And in this day and age, with, like you say, the Twitter and everything going on, it's astounding how they've kept so quiet and everything under wraps. It's actually very admirable. It's incredible. Wow, what a flood of information that's going all around, and none of it's coming from them. But I'm telling you, it's the right path to take. They have not crossed the NHL once.
Now, Darren, you talk about that, and you talk about the amount of information that's swirling around right now. And as we know, there's so much of it that is pure speculation, whether or not people are saying they're quoting sources or not. And when it comes to the media, you have to look at everything that's been written, and you know that, hey, you got to sell papers, you got to put it on the TV, it's what people are talking about. But do you believe that the media has, in some ways, perhaps maybe done a bad job of covering this situation? Because as we all know, there's probably about three people in a little locked room who actually know what's going on, and they're not talking to anybody. And you talk about driving people and getting their hopes up. So do you feel that the media is maybe fueling this a little too much in different directions that it shouldn't be going?
Of course. I think just like any group, you got your bad cats and you got your... I think there's a lot of good reporting going on at the Globe and Mail and at the Free Press. And, and even at the sign, it just depends on, you know, it depends on day to day. Honestly, I wake up and I read something, I go, what is that from? And it's complete speculation. And then other things seem to have a little more merit. So, but it's always seemed to have. And I think even some of the journalism coming out of Phoenix and out of Atlanta is just everyone's scrambling. I mean, I got myself caught in a Twitter rage war with this Kincaid fellow in Atlanta who's like a child on the thing. And
Darren, I've got your back. Just let me know.
I got your back. You know, I just realized I got to get off this thing. This is just silly. Well, but
as long as he's not threatening to sue you like he was Gary Lawless.
Well, it's just beyond laughable. It's silly. And that's what this has become. And I think it's wearing on people. I think it would take something catastrophic to have this.
I'm worn out. I got to say that. I'm worn out. I totally agree with Darren that, you know, the only time you should ever really put anything merit is if Mark Chipman calls a press conference, because then you know.
And I know the kind of guy he is. If he had it his way, he probably wouldn't even have his face there.
No, not at all.
Underground in the shadows guy and doesn't care for the limelight. And, you know, if I think he had it his way, he would have a tape recording of the announcement and he would just put the recorder up to the microphone. Just an incredible guy. And we're very lucky here to have the organization we do with the Moose, and I fully admit I've done a 180 in the last 8 years. I wasn't supportive of the Moose in the beginning, and kind of thought, you know, we deserved a lot better. But I took a different approach. This has allowed us to be in the position we're in today. How well that organization is run, and I tell you, I've learned so much in the past 8 years. It's been a great learning experience for me at the same time.
So, Darren, you know, we're all of the opinion that the NHL is coming back. I specifically think it'll be back next year. But the question is, if and when it does return, what if any plans do you have for a party? You know, because there's talk. I've seen Facebook groups. Obviously, there's that big Facebook group. Has like 15,000 people already saying, you know, return of the Jets party, Portage in Maine. And we're hearing varying accounts of where parties might be. But do you have any plans for the followers of JetsOwner.com or the people who are members of the Jets Owner Forum to celebrate?
Yeah, there's going to be an official. And just before I mention this, there's going to be a real push by, you know, city police and whatnot to deter people from doing Portage in Maine. It's not safe. It's just not. I think they'd probably push them towards the forks because everyone just wants to jump up and down. But I am going to do an official thing. It's already been, I had 4 meetings about it. I got shirts designed, and Sleeman Breweries is behind it. And it's going to be at Foreplay. It's just, obviously, the date is to be determined. So yeah. I refuse to throw anything prior. It's just, you know.
No, it's premature.
And that's the thing, Darren. Your Jets meter is at 96%. When will it be at 100%?
Well, it went to 99, and I made a big mistake there because it whipped everyone to a frenzy. Mm. It was based on, you know, something I'd learned, and yikes, I put her back down there. I'm not moving it again until the deal
is sealed. It's 100.
Yeah, I know it will be at Foreplay. It's going to be, you know, only 600-700 people will be able to get in, but it's going to be it's going to be a heck of a night, and we're going to have, I'm going to get to all the media, will be invited as a VIP. The Fleeman Sin Bin up top will be a VIP guest, and it's going to be great. You know, that's when I'm really going to use Twitter and the site to promote that. It's planning on being a week to 10 days after any kind of official announcement, okay. So we have a little bit of time.
Darren, I'm going to ask you this, you know, a little bit before the party's actually going to happen. Could we put Drew Mandel in that Sin Bin?
Sure.
Okay, awesome. Because I think you know everyone here would appreciate that. But Darren, thank you very much for joining us this morning, you know, we hope that we can have you back on when, you know, hopefully when an announcement is made, and we'll be able to talk.
You know, guys, and I can't wait to actually talk about wins and losses instead of
it'll be fantastic.
Lieberman and Mayor Scruggs. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Darren,
for joining us, Darren.
Have a great day.
You too.
Cheers.
You guys, we're gonna go to break right now. Coming up at 11, we're going to have Gabe Desjardins on. We've got Chris Mason, goaltender for the Atlanta Thrashers, coming on at 11:30. So stay tuned. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. You know what? We're going to take some calls, too, and we're going to read some tweets. So stay tuned to that. You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290. Curve Hockey Show, 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. My name's Ezra. I'm joined by Leah Hextall and Dave Manouk in place of Richie and Drew, who are hopefully eventually coming back from Minneapolis.
I go by V. Dave Manouk, actually.
The one and only.
And he talks about himself in the third person.
Only.
We want to remind everyone to go to Twitter, at Illegal Curve, tweet us. Dave, you wanted to quickly read a couple of tweets.
Not a couple, just that Winnipeg guy, at a Winnipeg guy. Sorry, I should be very Scott Oak. He reads all the names when he does it. But he confirmed what I was saying was that Iceedge did pull out, in fact, before before the vote was on Tuesday. So I think he said Saturday, which is what I was thinking. So
we'll continue to read tweets when we can. Add us to the Legal Curve. And also, if you want to phone in, 780-1290, if you want to get in on anything we've talked about. I think right now we're joined by Michael Remus on the Illegal Curve hotline. Is that correct?
Hey now, how's it going, guys?
Remus,
shouldn't you be in an accounting class?
Yeah, are you supposed to be taking a class?
I'm on break, guys. I wanted to say hello. I was able to listen to the show for a bit. You guys are sounding great. You know, giving Drew and Richard a run for their money. It's gonna be you know, a tough follow-up next week. But I just want to let everyone know that they should come on down, you know, to illegalcurve.com. We got a great, lively chat going on talking about, you know, if Leah looks as good in studio as she does on TV. We were talking about the Thrashers, Coyotes, a lot of discussion going on in there.
So are you're on break, but you still are manning the R desk from your computer, correct?
It's being manned. I got some assistance back at home, but it's being manned.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for calling in, Michael, and keep listening. And, you know, if you want, maybe we'll get your predictions too at the end of the show so we can post it up on the site.
And just a reminder, be on iTunes later this afternoon.
Thanks, Remus.
Nice.
Hey, no problem.
Okay,
go learn something.
Yeah, go learn. Okay, guys. We're going to have Gabe on in about 8 minutes' time, so we're going to have to make this segment a little bit quick. But let's go back a little bit to, you know, the two ownership situations, because, you know, we were talking to Darren Ford about this, and, you know, whether or not you know people's expectations have been risen too high. And you know, Leah, I wanted to mention, because you work for CTV and you also have worked for TSN, and I wanted to get your opinion on something specific to you, because a lot, you know, we talked about social media, but just in general, the way this story has been covered from all sources, obviously on our website, illegalcurve.com, we've linked every single article.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your opinion on the way this story has been covered? Because a lot of people really, I mean, a lot of people look at it like right now the city of Winnipeg is kind of being held hostage.
Well, every single day there is a new article that comes out talking about the return of the National Hockey League to Winnipeg.
Right.
There has to be, because that is the appetite. There's an appetite to feed within a market, and that is just basic business. I have to say that I'm very wary of anything I read. I really truly believe that while there are certain journalists who are very connected, they do have sources within the NHL, I don't believe they have the right sources. I don't believe they have the source that actually knows exactly what's going on. And I just truly believe that the way in which the NHL operates, there are three men who really know what's going on. They actually know what's going down. And they will not be expressing it until the day in which they have something deliberate to express. And I just feel for the fans. You know, when you talk about that hostage situation, it breaks my heart, because every day I have people coming up to me on the street saying, so Leah, when do you think the NHL is coming back? And I have no answers. I don't think anyone in the media has any answers. We are all speculating. We are all gathering information. But the fact of the matter is, I'm very wary to report things until I know something's solid in stone. You're not going to see me go on air and say, oh, well, this was written today. People say, well, they said that in the, you know, in this media branch or this media branch. And I go, that's fine. But until I hear Mark Chipman at a podium saying the National Hockey League is coming back to Winnipeg, we've done it, I'm just disregarding everything. I hope it. You know, people always say, well, you're so negative about it. Not the case. I mean, I'm a freaking Hextall, and I love this province. I'm a Manitoba girl. I want a team back here. I also would get to cover it. Like, that's my dream, to cover the National Hockey League. But it's just, you have to keep in perspective that people are trying to sell papers. They're trying to draw viewership. You can't believe everything you hear. And about probably 50% of it's true, if not less.
Dave, let's put aside whether or not you think that the NHL could return. you have to think that, but think, remember what you're going to say too, but I want to ask you this first. You have to think that this is either going to end two ways for next year. Mm. You have to think that people are either going to be absolutely ecstatic and are running to Portage and Maine, or people are going to are going to be completely bitter.
Well, yeah, I wrote about that. I actually said that, you know, that's the big concern for True North right now is if this wave, which is what we're seeing right now. I mean, there's no question about it. You're seeing it at illegalcurve.com. You're seeing just like literally thousands of people every day coming to the site just for a little sliver of information, and that's and they're weary, though, weary of this constant drone on and on, because it's, you're right, it's redundant, and it's, there's nothing new, and it's,
there's nothing there, new.
It's a lot of rehashing of what we already know, and then every once in a while you get a little sliver and you're thinking, okay, that's the key, someone's giving me a little hint. But, you know, so I think people are really tired, but they're still excited. Mm-hmm. They still think there's momentum. That Coyotes thing, I think the Coyotes, again, like, I think I'm with Darren on that. I think it was Coyotes only because of because of the situation. I think it was Atlanta, and then if you have the Coyotes, you know, because the NHL needed Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Winnipeg didn't need the NHL.
No.
I mean, and that's kind of, you know, it's funny, because Nick Drania said this, I believe, when he was in the interview at the council meeting, and he said, the NHL needs you more than you need the NHL. Well, let's look at the franchises right now that the NHL is propping up with their revenue sharing right now, that a lot of the teams that are successful can't be happy about. You've got Columbus Blue Jackets losing $25 million. You've got the Atlanta Thrashers losing, well, we don't know an exact figure.
130 in the last 5 years,
but exactly,
or something like that,
yeah,
or 3 years.
It's astronomical. Mm-hmm. You've got Phoenix losing. So you've got markets that are losing big money, and you've got a market like Winnipeg. Yes, sure. I understand the argument. The argument is Winnipeg is a saturated hockey market, whereas Atlanta and Phoenix are both huge markets, and they're untapped. But at the same time, for the dollar value that you're going to get for teams in Winnipeg, for a team in Winnipeg, you're going to have people paying. There's no question that you're going to bring the value up of the overall for the NHL overall. So they have to like weigh it, you know, versus the television market and all that stuff. So I mean, it'll be interesting the next few weeks. And hopefully not months. Well, we know that June 22nd is the release of the schedule. So,
I got to cut you guys off because we're gonna have to leave it there for now because we're gonna have Gabe Desjardins coming up at 11 o'clock. He is a statistical analyst for BehindTheNetHockey.com. But what we're gonna do is after Gabe, we'll continue our discussion, and then at 11:30 we're gonna have Chris Mason of the Atlanta Thrashers on, and we're gonna get a player's perspective of what's going on in Atlanta specifically. So. We're going to take another 3-minute break, and then we'll come back. So you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Gabe Desjardins of BehindTheNetHockey.com. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, good to talk to you guys again.
It's been a while. It's been 4 weeks. Well, it's always 4 weeks, right?
Yeah, but still, it's always a while, right?
Yeah. So how early is it there in California?
It is 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning, but it's never too early to be talking about hockey, right?
There you go. So just how closely matched were the Detroit Red Wings and the San Jose Sharks?
Well, I mean, before the series, they looked 100% completely matched. You know, you have two teams that are roughly as good at controlling the play, and you have two teams who have a 27 or 28-year-old goaltender who was going into his free agent year, who had a middling reputation. And I think that the outcome was exactly what we should have expected. Sharks in seven, and every single game was a one-goal game.
Now, Gabe, how much does, when we look towards the Bruins-Tampa Bay series, the loss of Patrice Bergeron, when you talk about statistics and whatnot, let's face it, he's great in the circle, he's great on the power play, he's a PKer, those are all things where stats are huge. What does the loss of him do to the Bruins?
Well, I think the Bruins, from my perspective, have always been running, at least this season, on Tim Thomas. And that's really what they had to hope for. They were not, from my perspective, anywhere near as good a team as Tampa. They got outshot. They gave up a ton of shots this year, and I think they have a really weak blue line behind behind Chara. And losing Bergeron does not help on that. So really, it just depends which direction Tim Thomas goes in. And losing Bergeron, I mean, I don't think that it has as big an impact as really where Thomas ends up, whether things go well for him or things go poorly.
So the Bruins go as Thomas goes.
I would say 100%.
Now, Gabe, what do you put the Canucks' odds are to beat the Sharks, and where is would you say is the biggest advantage?
I think the Canucks have a slight edge over the Sharks. One is that they're playing at home. They've got home ice advantage for one game there.
Mm-hmm.
I think those teams are pretty evenly matched. I would say that Vancouver has an edge over San Jose in goal. And on top of that, there's a slight edge in terms of rest coming into this series. But on the other hand, I think San Jose's power play is a bit better than Vancouver's, although their penalty kill is not quite as good. So all pulled, it looks like, I don't know, maybe a 5%, 10% margin on that series, which is it's not zero. And they're definitely nowhere near as closely matched as the Wings and the Sharks were. But as we saw, Chicago took Vancouver to seven games, and I think that is, again, the most likely outcome with the Sharks.
We are joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show with Gabe Desjardins, statistical and analyst. I always have trouble saying that, for BehindTheNetHockey.com. Gabe, you recently wrote an article on the impact of rest in the playoffs. Can you give us a brief report on those findings?
Sure. So what I looked at was what happens when two teams come into a series and one team has had more days off than the other. And so what you see is 1 to 4 additional days of rest comes out to, I think, about a 5 or 6% advantage. So roughly the same as home ice advantage in the playoffs. Beyond four games, we don't have a lot of data. There aren't a lot of series, you know, although there have been some where one team has 10 additional days of rest relative to their opponent. And there we don't see quite the impact. Now, again, it's small sample size, but it seems to lend some credence to the theory that having a bit more rest is good, and having a lot more rest makes you rusty for the next round.
Now, Gabe, you also interestingly evaluated the rate of penalties in the first round compared to the regular season. And is the idea that the refs, they put away the whistle in the postseason not actually true?
So what I looked at was not just penalty rate, but also the rate of power play opportunities.
Okay.
Because obviously, you know, you can have situations where, you know, there's more or less fighting, and so you'll end up with, you know, a lot more penalties. But if you look at power play opportunities, there does not seem to be any difference between, you know, overall between the series, the first round playoff series, and the regular season as a whole. Now, the number of penalties, the rate of power play opportunities does drop as you get further and further into the playoffs. But at least for the first round, there doesn't seem to be a big difference overall.
Gabe, you're a former Winnipegger, with the rumored pending return of a team here. What can you share with us your all-time favorite Jets memory?
Yeah, definitely. I think my all-time favorite and was probably the 85-86 playoff series. Now, this is a best-of-five series, Calgary and Winnipeg, and I went to Game 3, and, you know, it was just a perfect Winnipeg night, right? It was probably a ton of snow, falling, hard to drive to the rink, probably minus 35, minus 40, and which is odd, because it was in April. But anyways, it was definitely a miserable weather that night. And maybe 8,000 fans. Jets were down 2-0 in the best-of-five series. And the thing about the 85-86 Jets was that their goaltending was absolutely horrible, unspeakably brutal. And so John Ferguson had fired the coach and then taken over as coach with about 11 games to go in the season. And I don't know if you guys remember Ferguson very well, but he was pretty irrational guy.
I did. I just did an interview with Doug Smell, who had some funny things to say about him.
Well, the thing I remember about Ferguson when he took over as coach there for the end of the season is he'd wear these awful gray suit jackets on the bench, just an awful wool pattern. And he would sweat through the armpits of the suits. And they pointed that out on the news. So Ferguson decides in game three of this best-of-five series that he's so dissatisfied with his goaltenders that he's going to go to the QMJHL and pull out a 20-year-old guy who just finished his season there. And so he calls up Daniel Bertum, who weighs 150 pounds. I mean, he's a tiny little guy. And Bertum basically plays Calgary to a tie. And I mean, the Jets really could have won this. Havlicek had a great end-to-end rush where he put the puck off both posts. And it goes to overtime, and Calgary does end up winning. But phenomenally exciting game, and so few fans at the game that I was able to sneak down to the front row at the blue line. So really? that by far is my favorite memory.
And that's a good one.
Gabe, can you also give us our listeners a quick by-the-numbers look at the Atlanta Thrashers and where this team is going and where their strengths are?
Yeah, well, I think that my take on Atlanta, if I had two teams, if I was going to pick between Phoenix and Atlanta for the team that I wanted to come to Winnipeg, I would definitely pick Phoenix. Phoenix is a much better team and obviously plays, I think that Winnipeg will probably be in the Western Conference as opposed to the Eastern Conference, and the Western Conference is still a better conference than the East. So I would definitely go with Phoenix. I mean, Atlanta, it's hard to say what's going on there. I think it's rather unfortunate that they signed Dustin Byfuglien to a big, somewhat long-term contract. I don't think he's a very good player there. And, I mean, from my perspective, I think I would just blow up that team. There's a lot of... it's not a team that's had much success during the regular season or in the playoffs, and they've lost their best players from when they were actually a moderately good team. So I don't have much good to say about Atlanta. I really would rather the Coyotes were showing up.
Of course, if it was the Coyotes, we wouldn't have the benefit of Ilya, I hate the cold, Brizgalov, so that could be problematic.
I think Brizgalov is somewhat overrated too. I mean, he's a guy who's put up some good numbers, but I would be very hesitant to re-sign him. I think that any team that signs Brizgalov is going to get a player whose contract far exceeds his actual talent and performance.
Yep.
So I think that might be beneficial to blow up even more of the Coyotes.
Now, Gabe, Dave Staples had an interesting article about you, actually, today in the Edmonton Journal, which I'm sure you've read. But
oh, no, I actually didn't.
Oh, you haven't read it yet?
No, I haven't.
It's not Anne there. He just woke up.
Okay.
You're famous, Gabe.
All right. Well, he wrote a very interesting article about your analysis and your statistical analysis of hockey. So just a quick question about your NHLE, as he called it, your NHL equivalencies. How did you develop that program?
So I'd like to say that this was a brilliant idea that I came up with on my own, but it's exactly the same as the Major League equivalencies that Bill James developed almost 30 years ago. And all you do is you look at how a player does in the AHL or in junior or in whatever other league, and then you look at how he does in the next season in the NHL, and you just come up with a ratio of points per game between the first league and the second league. And obviously we use points per game because the season lengths are different.
Right.
And ultimately you end up just, with, 200 or 300 or 500 players. And so you have a very large sample and you can see roughly how points translate from one league to the other.
Well, then I suggest you get to the Edmonton Journal site and you can read all about Staples' article that he wrote about your...
sounds good. Thanks for letting me know about
practice.
That.
Gabe, once again, thank you very much for joining us on the Legal Curve Hockey Show. We'll look forward to having you on about a month from now in June.
All right, sounds good. I am planning a trip to Winnipeg, so hopefully I will make it there before you guys go off the air for the summer and I can actually come in the studio.
Yeah, well,
nice.
we'll if you're down, we'll all go. We'll head out to the world-famous Palomino Club and maybe even visit our old stomping grounds, Kelvin High School.
Oh, sounds wonderful, my friend.
All right.
Thanks, Gabe.
Thanks a lot. You can go back to bed now, Gabe.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. All right, guys, let's go to break. Chris Mason of the Atlanta Thrashers is coming up in about 18 minutes. We'll maybe get back to talking about a little bit about the round three again, because we've been talking a lot about Thrashers and Coyotes and all that. But we have lots still to come. You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290. I love this song. I have this album on vinyl. I saw this concert in 2005, Queens of the Stone Age, one of the best concerts I've ever been to. Welcome back to the Legal Curve Hockey Show. My name is Ezra Ginsberg. I am joined by Leah Hextall, Dave Manouk, Richard Pollock, and Drew Mandel are sipping a Mai Tai somewhere in Minneapolis right now on the patio.
A little mimosa
probably.
Action, probably.
A little mimosa.
Yeah.
They're not on the beach.
Champagne.
Yeah. They're probably, you know, with Kyle, too. And did Kyle go to Minneapolis?
No,
he didn't go, eh?
No.
Sorry about that, Kyle. Yeah, they're probably, you know, on the patio just living it up, listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show. As
on the beaches of Lake Calhoun.
I will say, I love that they leave when we're about to start the conference finals and they bail on you, Ezzy.
But Leah, Drew's been
like the biggest time of the
season. Since we've been on Sports Radio 1290, Drew's gone to Costa Rica, he's gone to Kentucky, he's gone to Calgary.
So are we detailing every trip Drew's ever taken?
Well, so we just, know that
you know, Drew just, you know, he's the host, and then he just decides, well, oh yeah, I'm just gonna leave, and you know, Ez will host, you know, no big deal.
I think the bigger factor is the fact that people like Leah and I get to be guest hosts.
Well, we were talking about
guest analysts.
We were talking about I was talking about creating the new Illegal Curve, and I mean, just because Illegal Curve is copyrighted, and they, Richie and Drew, we could always start a new show, right?
Oh, I like it.
Are you with me,
Dave? Are you with me, Leah?
I like being a sub.
Could just be me and like a. Like a quiet room.
Usually I'll just go to the quiet room with Patrice Bergeron. Usually I only get to come on for about 5 minutes. Like, I get to come on for maybe one or two segments the boys let me come on for. Mm-hmm. But today, this is big time
for
me. This is big, big time.
Just a reminder, you can follow us on Twitter and at tweet us, and we'll try to read it on air. Dave, you've got a Twitter follower that you want to read a tweet of theirs?
I'm going to butcher his name. It's Paul, I believe, Paul Poirier. And he says, question for you guys, if team does return to Winnipeg, will the team be named the Jets? And if not, will that be a problem for fans?
Phoenix has the naming rights, right?
Yes.
I believe the NHL.
The NHL.
No, the
oh,
NHL.
Sorry,
no,
the NHL does. Pardon me.
Which is, you know, they own the Coyotes, too.
Do we want them to be the Jets?
Interesting. I don't know. I mean, personally, I loved it. You know, the question is, do they want to be the Jets or do they want them to be the Winnipeg Jets? Because if they were called the Manitoba
versus
Jets.
Versus the Manitoba Jets, right.
Versus the Manitoba Jets.
It's going to be Winnipeg. There's no city. There's no city where it's.
Well, no. In the States, there is. In Canada, there isn't. Because in the States, you've got Florida,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously they. And yeah, you've got Colorado, and you got New Jersey, and you got Minnesota.
Well, I think Leah too. I think what the thinking with True North was that the Moose are already called Manitoba,
yes.
And that the
and
Moose,
I like
the
that.
Moose, the Moose would they would like to carry that the provincial name over plus. I think another example that's being used is the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and how successful that has been to, you know, name a team after a province so that the province feels like they own the team. But
well, as someone from Brandon, how would that make you feel? Seriously.
You know what? I like the fact that they're Manitoba Moose. I do, because I always say when I'm talking on air, it's the province. The province will support this team, not just the city. But really, are we going to be that tedious? Does anybody care as long as we get a team?
No. And I think,
that's
you know, it's
kind of the point.
Ultimately, to answer Paul's
they
question.
They can name it, like as Huss said, the Manitoba Golden Boys for all I care. Just get the team.
I'm with Leah, and I actually think that that's what
I think they should be. I tweeted this at Hustler when they had when they were talking about the name. They should be called the Manitoba Hustlers.
Okay.
I think that works.
No,
terrible
Ez.
Name.
That's a horrible
worst
name.
Worst name ever.
That's just stop.
He liked it. Hustler
well,
liked it.
Of course he liked it.
Have you met him?
He's going to have it memorialized.
He'll love it.
But anyways, what I was saying is that I think that people, firstly, are only concerned about having NHL hockey in the city. Almost everybody I've talked to, and we've done stories about this, and people will comment, and they say, just get a team here, then we can worry about a name debate. But I think Winnipeg.
I bet there's already a name. I bet True North already has a name.
Well, I mean, of course, the suspicion is that they want to go in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is,
I don't blame them.
You're generating tons of revenue with the Winnipeg Jets already. I mean, if you think about it,
you don't want people wearing their old Jets jerseys. You want them buying new jerseys.
Well,
that's a big sales thing.
And the truth is, not only will that be a big sales thing, but you're still going to sell the old stuff anyways. And you can still possibly, because it's owned by the NHL, if you purchase that the rights, you can then use it to if you want to have like a throwback night. You know, again, the problem is, of course, if the team's Atlanta, there's no real tie other than the city. But there's no tie to that team specifically. So, like, you know, I mean, we'll see. But, then, I mean,
I vote for a new name. I do. I like the idea.
What do you think of the Falcons, the Manitoba Falcons? That's what I've been hearing, you know, a
as
lot
a
of
throwback
discuss.
To back in the day, the Falcons.
Yeah, the Olympic team.
That's
that
not
won,
bad. That's
know.
Not bad. But
or,
I,
Leah,
I,
what about this name?
Okay.
This is probably the best name I've heard because I created it. The Manitoba Muffins.
Like, what is with you?
And that the reason why
Hustlers, muffins.
And he wouldn't stop.
You
know,
you?
He wouldn't stop talking about muffins.
Then we're going to talk about muffin tops. It's just going to go bad. It's going to go bad.
Hear me out, though. But they have a built-in sponsor with muffins.
Do you really think they're going to need a built-in sponsor if a team comes back to Winnipeg? I think there'll be a few people jumping on board.
I think Ezzy's got muffin on the brain because he wouldn't stop at Starbucks this morning talking about muffins.
Why didn't you get a muffin? You just got a new job. You can afford a muffin.
The Starbucks.
He did buy Starbucks.
The Starbucks muffins, there's
I like
a little,
the banana chocolate chip
selection
little fat
that,
thing.
That's what you tried selling me on.
Mm-hmm. It's really
good. The chocolate croissant. We shared it. It was really lovely.
Well done, boys.
But I think that there's Leah, you make a good point. You really make a good point that if we get a team back, are we gonna not support the team if they're not called the Jets?
No,
of course not. So I think that it's gonna be one of those things that people have already kind of voiced their opinions. There's been a petition on the internet about that they should be called the Jets. But I think whatever the name is, we're gonna embrace that name.
And
right?
I'll say this: growing up, I didn't live in Winnipeg. I didn't live in Winnipeg until I got my job here for CTV. Mm-hmm. I born in Portage, grew up in Flin Flon and Brandon kind of thing. I was never a Winnipeg Jets fan.
My dad's from Flin Flon, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Flint to Batty Flanaton. Have you been up there before?
My dad?
Well, have you been up there before?
No, I haven't,
but my dad
grew up there. Yeah.
I'll say this. I wasn't a Jets fan because at the time, and I'm not trying to name drop here, but my cousin was playing in the NHL, and he was playing for Philly. And
was his last name Hextall?
It was Hextall. He played in net. He had a bit of a temper. Anyways,
did he score a goal in the playoffs?
He scored a goal, yeah.
Okay.
Scored a couple of them, actually. As he's calmed down. I believe he's listening today, actually, in L.A., so.
Oh, hi, Ron.
Yeah.
I'm your biggest fan, Ron.
Assistant GM of the
You can
LA
come on
Kings.
The show anytime you want, Ron.
I'll say this. I was never a Jets fan. I've told people this before, so I don't have this huge relationship with the Jets because when I came down to games, when we came down from up north, I was wearing my Flyers jersey because it was family, right?
Yep.
So I think we have to remember is that, and think of the youth. Think of the youth who have grown up being Manitoba Moose fans. There's a whole new generation of hockey fans within this province. And so I don't necessarily think that it has to be the Jets. I think it's time to start a new era, clean slate, because I always hear people complain about the Jets and how they lost in the playoffs and they couldn't get it. Let's start fresh. Let's bring our team in. Let it be the new Manitoba blankety blank.
Yeah, right.
And woo!
Leah's cheering in the studio right now.
I think that's a very good point. I think that I couldn't argue with that. I'm going to say that, yes, if you ask me what's your number one choice, I'd probably say, yeah, let's go Manitoba Jets. But honestly, if it's Manitoba Bumblebees or Manitoba Pop-Tarts, whatever it is, I'm gonna buy that jersey and I'm gonna support them because it's gonna start a whole new thing.
You guys should have a contest on Illegal Curve on the Facebook or Twitter for names.
Well,
and then forward.
Once again, Leah, if you would have logged on to our website that we pay a lot of money to.
I worked till midnight on Friday night,
but
10:30 to 12.
In your defense, we didn't actually have a contest.
Just ask people.
It was just a poll. It was just a naming poll. Like, do you care about this?
I bet you anybody, the marketing department in True North has already been thinking about this, and I have a feeling they've got a prototype.
First of all, there's amazing representations. Ezra and I, Ezra received an email this morning from someone who sent off a number of Manitoba jerseys and possibilities and stuff like that. So it'll be
the Winnipeg Thrashers because we have a little AAA team that's our national champion now. So they got
that
name.
What about the Manitoba Manukes?
I like it.
Wow.
There's a lot
there
of Manukes in the city.
There are a lot of Manukes in the city.
Okay, guys, we're going to go to break because we have an exclusive interview with
the Manitoba Mad Men.
You're in Ezra's category right now with bad names.
I gotta stop. I'm getting tired.
I need
some more coffee. That is bad. That's horrible.
Wasn't good.
Okay, we're gonna go to break because Chris Mason of the Atlanta Thrashers is basically waiting for us to call him. He's actually driving from Atlanta to Red Deer, Alberta, his hometown. So we're gonna call him. We're gonna have him on. And we're gonna talk about hockey.
Can he talk and drive? Is that illegal?
No, he's gonna stop.
No, it's okay there.
He is going to stop because I don't want to be responsible for any tickets. So. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Chris Mason, goaltender for the Atlanta Thrashers, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
How you doing?
So, Chris, you were able to pull over somewhere to do the interview?
Yeah, I just actually I stayed in the hotel. I'm in Denver, Colorado right now, and I just I stayed and waited to talk to you guys before I embark on my trip.
We appreciate that. Yeah, just so everyone knows, that Chris was on his way back to his hometown of Red Deer, Alberta, driving from Atlanta. So we appreciate that you were able to find a safe spot with good cell phone coverage. So Chris, we want to talk to you a little bit first off about some of the ownership talk with the Coyotes and Thrashers. Obviously, the insanity of this team relocation talk has switched now from the Phoenix Coyotes to the Atlanta Thrashers, the team that you now play for. Have the players in Atlanta been given any indication as to what to expect regarding an ownership change or move to another city?
No, we haven't, and to be honest with you, the only information that we've heard is the same as everybody else, just through the media outlets and sources, and we've been given no indication by any management or owners or anything, so I think everybody's kind of standing pat, just seeing where this whole thing develops.
Now, Chris, obviously in the past when it came to Phoenix, there was a few players that were outspoken. We won't name names because we all know them, about the fact that they didn't really like the idea of moving to Winnipeg. Do you think that any of the players on the Thrashers franchise or the roster right now would have an issue with coming to the Peg?
You know what? Like, it's hard for me to speak for everybody. I know that there's...
So what about yourself, Chris? What do you think? Any issue with it?
For me?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I mean, I'm from Red Deer, Alberta. I love Canada. You know, that's everybody in Canada loves hockey. So, I mean, I don't have any issue with playing anywhere. So, no, I don't. But I can't speak for other guys on our team.
Chris, you know, a quick question for you. The Atlanta Spirit Group, they've been fighting for a number of years now, and it's been drawn out in the courts and whatnot. And the question is, what kind of effect does that have on the players?
You know what, I went through a similar situation when I was in Nashville. That's when the whole Jim Valcilli thing was going down, and he was rumored to buy the team and all that. It doesn't really have a lot because, honestly, like, there's nothing that we can do, and it's not like anybody asks the players, like, hey, do you mind if we move the team to Winnipeg, you know, or anything like that?
Right.
Like, so we just kind of, there's nothing really that we can do about it. We just, it's interesting to see how this is going to, you know, pan out, and it's, you know, you feel for like fans in Atlanta, but at the same time, you know, it's kind of exciting for, you know, a city like Winnipeg that has like such a huge hockey history with the Jets. And I remember watching the Jets when I was a kid, to potentially get a team again too. So, it's just interesting. I mean, you stand by as kind of a, you know, a fan or a bystander in the whole situation and see what happens.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Chris Mason, goaltender for the Atlanta Thrashers.
So, Chris, you know, getting off the ownership issue for now, we're talking about the Stanley Cup Finals and Round 3 starting. Which goaltender of the four remaining in the playoffs which one really impressed you, and who do you think can steal the next round for their team?
I love Tim Thomas. I think he's both the guys out east are capable of doing that. The guys in the West are also really good, and I know Niemi won the Stanley Cup, and Belongo had a great year this year, but I just love watching Tim Thomas. He's such a battler, and I'm a big fan of his, so I'd pick Timmy Thomas out in Boston.
Now, Chris, it's funny that you mentioned the two more seasoned attenders, as we'll call them, in Rolison and Thomas in the Eastern Conference, being 41 and 37. There is that question, though. You see how well they're playing, and yes, they are older goaltenders, but the fact is that sometimes young goalies seem to be being pushed into the NHL, perhaps a little too early, and as we know and as you know yourself, it takes goaltenders a little bit more time to season. Do you feel that the NHL needs to really, or I guess teams, because look at Carey Price, for instance, came in, kind of had a good season, then he struggled, and if maybe he would have had a couple, a little bit longer in the AHL there, he might have not gone through that. Do you think that tenders need a bit more time before they should be thrown in under the fire of the National Hockey League?
I do. Personally, I think it's, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, obviously is at different levels at certain ages, but I just think it's more beneficial. And it was for me as a goaltender to get the experience in the American Hockey League.
Mm-hmm.
You get to, you know, play against a men and, you know, kind of develop and, you know, get used to the, you know, I don't know, being a pro instead of going from junior. And you have all the pressures of living on yourself and the pressure of being great every night. And if you're not, like, you know, Carey Price is playing in Winnipeg and he's got to deal with, you know, the media every single night. And I just think, as a goaltender, that's a position that is really tough to come in as a young kid and be dominant at. And, you know, even as a player, there's very few that come in every year and have great years the first couple years. So I just think it, you know, it benefits if the organization can do that. Sometimes they're put in different situations where they need their young players to step up quicker. But personally, I think if I was ever running an organization, I would really stress having guys play a few years in the American Hockey League.
Chris, you mentioned that you're in Denver now, but you're on your way to Red Deer, Alberta from Atlanta. So we want to ask you, you know, a question about travel and how that relates to teams remaining in the playoffs. You know, at this time of year, what kind of impact does travel time have on players? Because, you know, the Canucks had to go back all the way to Nashville, and they probably didn't want to do that. But now, in the third round, the Canucks and Sharks are pretty much, you know, pretty close together on that West Coast. How happy do you think, you know, the Canucks are that they won't have to travel that much, and how much of an impact does that actually have?
Oh, I think it's huge. I mean, you know, there's always the debate, like, if you leave right after the game to go back to Vancouver, or, you know, just stay the night in Nashville and then fly the next day, and then the whole next day is a travel day, and that's tough, too. So I think that, you know, they're probably extremely happy that, you know, they're going to be playing in San Jose now, as opposed to going out to Detroit and having that haul again. So that's the thing with the Western Conference. It's the travel. I enjoy it because I did enjoy it when I was in the West, because I love the cities in the Western Conference, and that's all I've played in until this year. But it makes a huge difference, especially when, you know, rest is going to be paramount for these guys now, when they played a lot of hockey and, you know, their eyes on the Stanley Cup right now. So every advantage they can get is definitely going to help.
Chris, you talk about playing a lot of hockey. The fact is, you have played in the World Hockey Championships before, and obviously Canada lost to Russia in the quarterfinals, and they're going to go 2 years now without a medal. And the yesterday, actually, the president of Hockey Canada, Bob Nicholson, laid a bit of a verbal lashing on players that didn't want to come over to play for Team Canada, especially the younger players. What are your thoughts on that when it comes to players turning down an invitation to play for Team Canada?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you my thoughts. I've contacted Team Canada before to let them know that I've been available if they needed a third guy in previous years, and I just have a rule, like, to my own self, I would never, you know, turn down an opportunity to play for Canada, you know, unless it was, you know, barring an injury would probably be the only reason. I don't know, I just could never do it myself, and I don't really understand why. Unless, you know, there's injury concerns is the only thing that I could think of that, you know, somebody would turn it down. But if it wasn't, and, you know, if somebody's just tired or just didn't want to play, I don't think that's a good reason to turn down your country.
Chris, you know, the conference finals are starting tonight. Who do you like in each series, and who do you think's eventually going to hoist the Stanley Cup?
I think I like Boston. And I think that's my pick to win the Stanley Cup. And they've been off, both of those teams have been off for a while, so it'll be interesting to see how that series starts, because I know when you're playing hockey all the time and then you get a week off, it's tough to come back and, you know, capture that intensity and that kind of feeling right away. So that series will be interesting. And the West one's tough for me. I don't like Vancouver, so I hope San Jose wins.
I don't either, Chris. I hear you.
Yeah. I don't know. Some of their players bug me, I guess. But
because they're pompous.
I know a couple of guys on the Sharks, and I don't know, so I'm pulling for them. But I know Vancouver's got a great team, so that one's tough for me. I'll pick San Jose because I like them better.
Nice.
Chris, just getting back to, you know, back to the ownership, you know, situation in Atlanta, I realize that you mentioned that, you know, it's kind of tough for the players there to read too much into it or hear anything. But from your point of view, do you believe that the Atlanta Spirit Group is actively trying to keep the team in Atlanta, whether that's trying to find an owner or make it work somehow?
I believe that they have been in the past and this year. And I think, obviously, when we're hearing all the talk about, you know, they're going to start talking and having conversations with True North, that I think that they probably, you know, tried to exercise every option to keep the team there, but it didn't work out, and it hasn't come to fruition. So I think now that they're, you know, doing what they have to do to sell the team, and that, you know, if that means moving to Winnipeg, I think that they're definitely looking at that. And from everything I've read, and heard that that's the way it's going. So I think they tried. I just don't think they had any viable offers.
You know, and Chris, as per usual, the people who are going to suffer are the fans in Atlanta. But what's it like playing in the actual building? Like, is it a loud building? Is it a passion? Because, I mean, you know, every people want to malign fan bases. They say, oh, Atlanta's terrible fans or Phoenix has terrible fans. I don't believe that. I think that they might not have a tremendous number of fans, but they have a usually core dedicated groups. And I know, like, I believe in Atlanta they have something called, like, the Blue Land or something like that, in like the 300 section, where they're really loud. But what's it overall like to play in that arena?
Well, first of all, I have to totally agree with what you said. They don't have a lot of fans, but the ones that they do are great hockey fans, and they have a good core base. But it was, in all honesty, it was tough sometimes because we didn't get a lot of turnout. And, some of the time we'd be playing, against Pittsburgh or, I think Detroit came down too, and they would have a lot of fans there. I think Atlanta's it's a transport city where there's a lot of out-of-town people there and everything. So it was tough. I mean, we had a good stretch where we were winning a lot of games. It was, December, January, maybe January, February, we were doing pretty good. It started to get good. But as a whole, it was tough. We just didn't have a lot of numbers. And sometimes it's tough to to get the great atmosphere in there. But they were loud, and, the fans that we did have were great, and I'd never, ever say anything bad about the people that show up, and they love the hockey team, and you know they do, and you meet them at the season ticket holder events and everything, and they're just as passionate as any, Canadian hockey fan. So they were good, but they just didn't have a ton. So it was tough sometimes.
Chris, you just talked about fans loving the team there. Well, you know what? Winnipeg is already starting to adopt the Atlanta Thrashers as their own as we get into this ownership issue. So I want to know from someone inside the room, if this team does come to Manitoba, what kind of team can we expect here? Who are you guys? What's the identity?
Well, I think that this is a team that's really finding their identity right now, and you have a lot of good young hockey players. And you have, a guy like Dustin Byfuglien, who won the Stanley Cup 2 years ago, just moved back to defense last year. He scored 20 goals, and he was a force, and he's only going to get better back there. A guy that you don't hear about a lot is, Toby Enstrom is an all-star. He's an unbelievably smart hockey player. He's a little guy, but he played with Byfuglien most of the year. And he's a guy that I think playing in a hockey market like, if he played in Winnipeg, he would get a lot of recognition. Great young captain, and Andrew Ladd.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good young leader. He got to wear the C last year, and I think he's a guy that Canadians would be proud to have as a captain on their team. So I think it's a great great young and up and coming team. There's a lot of guys. And obviously, I'm not going to go through everyone and probably forget half of them anyway. But
and then Chris Mason and Nett. Between the pipes. Don't forget that. Give yourself a shout out.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, good, solid Red Deer boy.
There you go.
Chris, I'm already getting my number 50 jersey ready to go.
Nice.
All right, Chris Mason, goaltender for the Atlanta Thrashers. Thank you very much for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Enjoy your time in Denver and on your way back to Red Deer.
Safe travel.
Yeah, have a safe drive back.
Thank you. Anytime you guys want to talk, just give me a call.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate it.
Okay, see you later.
And that was Chris Mason, goaltender for the Atlanta Thrashers, that just joined us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And that was great because I think our show is one of the first shows to have a member of the Thrashers speak. And Chris is, like we said, is he left Atlanta shortly. And, I mean, it was really nice of him to come on because it's tough to answer those questions. It's mm-hmm. tough. It has to be tough.
And they don't know really anything,
right,
like you said. They're just playing hockey.
Exactly. It has to be tough if you're a player and you're preparing for what you're going to do after the summer ends.
Yeah.
And you don't really know. I might be in Atlanta. I might be in Winnipeg. So we appreciate that. But, okay, let's quickly go to break. It's almost 11:45. So call us at 780-1290 if you want to quickly get in a call or tweet us at Illegal Curve. We'll try to get it on air. We'll come back. We'll have some final thoughts. Cheers and jeers. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. epic 3-hour Jets spectacular, I think, is what's going on right now. I'm Ezra. She's Leah. He's Dave. Guys, 15 minutes left.
I know.
12 minutes left. 10 minutes left.
The show's gone.
Show's almost over.
By.
It's been a good one. You heard from Chris Mason of the Atlanta Thrashers about 3 minutes ago, and that might have been the best interview ever in the history of life.
Well, you know what? I'm sure as he drives to Red Deer, he can download our podcast and he can listen to it again. And again.
I'm sure he taped the interview and he's actually listening to
it
right now.
It means that much to him. Yeah.
As soon as it ended, he's listening to his own voice and us asking him questions. No, but that was a fantastic guest. Your guys' quick thoughts on Chris Mason's interview and any other interview that we've had on the show so far.
I appreciated his candor.
Am I doing a recap show right now?
Yeah, honestly, no. I thought he was he was open and he was honest.
Yep.
And he didn't really color it. And he didn't try and shade it in a way that people in Winnipeg want to hear or people in Atlanta want to hear. He just gave his honest opinion. I thought that was really
very candid.
I appreciated that because you appreciate him for his honesty. And that, like I said, I thought it was a very good interview.
I really enjoyed when he talked about the World Hockey Championships and the fact that he has a personal rule that you never say no to Team Canada.
Yeah,
and,
let's, awesome. Let's talk about that for a second.
Good Red Deer boy right
there. Because you BBM'd me that, too, and I looked
I
into
did.
That.
I did, yeah.
You know, I have a little bit of a problem with players not playing for their country. And I mean, I think Bob Nicholson has a point. I don't fully agree with him, but I think he does have a point when Team Canada has groomed these players, and he didn't want to mention some of them, but they were younger
They've
players.
They've been in the system
we
since
don't have,
the
We don't have to name names because we don't want to start anything, but I think that, you know, Chris mentioned that he would always play for Team Canada, and if you're asked to play for Team Canada, and I think especially when you are at one of the great hockey players.
This is, you know, as I don't mean to cut you off, but this is the bottom line, and I have a lot of passion about this. Canada has now fallen to 3 in the world rankings. That is unacceptable.
Right.
That's unacceptable. I agree with Bob Nicholson at that point. I also agree with him. If you are not in playoffs, you are at the World Championship if Canada asks you to come and you're donning that maple leaf. I'll tell you something. If Alexander Ovechkin, perhaps the best player in the world, can jump on a plane as soon as Washington's done and be over there and play in the next day, that is what it's about.
And I think
he doesn't need to play for experience. He doesn't need to play. He plays because it's his country. And that is what this is about.
Do you think the reason why Bob Nicholson and others at Hockey Canada are maybe a little bit upset about this is because if a player is asked and they refuse and then don't really give an answer, you have to kind of think like, okay, so do you just want to have an early summer here? Or
it has the other thing too is that if you're injured, fine. You're injured, we totally understand that, we get it. But let's remember, if these young kids ever want to have a hope of playing within an Olympics, playing in Sochi, having one of the best experiences of their life, if I was part of Hockey Canada and someone said no to me once, that would really put an edge on them, a little black mark on them when it comes to the Olympics. It's not just about the Olympics.
Well, remember,
it's about representing your country.
You heard back
country.
In the day, I think was it Ray Bourque? I'll have to check on that, but I think it was Ray Bourque and Patrick Waugh kind of got, you know, out of favor with Team Canada at certain points because of their refusal to play.
Mm-hmm.
When those were, you know, Patrick Waugh, you're talking about the best goalie of all time. Mm-hmm. Ray Bourque, you're talking about one of the best defensemen of all time, but sometimes at some certain points they wouldn't play for Team Canada. Obviously they did at certain points because I guess they changed their tune, but it's I think it's a touchy subject because these guys play hockey all year round. Some guys that play end up playing in the playoffs, those guys don't count because they can't play in the World Hockey Championships. But you have to think that if you're a team that was knocked out of the didn't make the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
if you're in Edmonton, and I'm kind of hinting at who that player was.
Let's say Taylor Hall. Where is he?
It was Taylor
Where
Hall.
Where is he?
It was Taylor
Everly's
Hall.
Everly's over there. Is Taylor Hall?
Is the guy that, I didn't want to, you know, call him out, but, and I'm not, but he is the guy that Nicholson, it was Hall and Tavares, right?
Yeah.
John Tavares, who didn't play for Team Canada, and once again.
Tavares is over there right now.
Oh, sorry, it wasn't Tavares.
Yeah,
so
no.
It was Taylor Hall for sure, but it was, I think, another player. Tavares, I apologize, but I think that if Taylor Hall was thinking, okay, this is my rookie season, I don't want to play, he should have maybe thought of what goes with playing for Team Canada at this championship. Aside from the Olympics, in Europe, this tournament's considered bigger than the Olympics, right? A lot of people might not know that in Canada, but this is their big hockey tournament. And he might, I'm not giving him any suggestions. I mean, he's one of the greatest up-and-coming hockey players in the world. He doesn't need me to tell him that. But I think people are right to criticize him when they could really use him. Like you said, Alexander Ovechkin was there. Ilya Kovalchuk was there. The best players were there. And Taylor Hall is, even though he's young, he's an up-and-coming future of Team Canada, right?
Mm-hmm. We hope so, but maybe not.
Well,
maybe not now.
I think
if they would have won the gold medal, they'd be done as of tomorrow. So
right.
Then you start your off season. It's not like you're extending your season by 2 months, a Stanley Cup run. Mm-hmm. You're done before the end of May.
Right.
And I don't care. It's Canada. It's
right. Yeah.
You know, I don't know how you say no. If you're an athlete, you don't say no.
Yeah, that's
any round, whether it's hockey, volleyball, whatever. If somebody comes to me and says, you can play and represent your country, I'm going.
Leah, when they came to me and they said, you could represent Illegal Curve on Saturday, I said, I'm doing
it. I'm in.
It's like Team Canada's like coming on the Illegal Curve hockey show.
I was working until 12:30 last night at CTV, but I was like, I am in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Illegal Curve is essentially a country, is what we're saying.
Yes.
We're
our own island.
Yes, exactly.
And
let's just hope that Drumondel isn't our prime minister.
Anyways, I'm sorry about my rant about that, but you want to talk about gutless?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
how about that?
I mean, I think that when you're a young player and you've been groomed by the Canadian hockey system and you've been treated well by the hockey system, I think you might want to think about saying no when you're given an opportunity to put on the sweater and play. And once again, you know, we're just giving our opinion, and it's
Hockey Canada gives them a chance to shine in the under-18s, and they end up getting drafted, and they end up having a great NHL career, and a lot of them getting better is playing against the best players from around the world when they get to go to those world championships. It's such a gift, it's such a luxury, and you have to look at that, and you have to be appreciative to what Hockey Canada does.
And just switching topics, you know, we're gonna go into cheers and jeers here in about a minute or so. But we also wanted to pass along actually some pretty sad news. It came out on Twitter, I believe it was Michael Russo of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, Dave, I believe.
Yeah.
Right? And we've had him on this show a couple times. And obviously Derek Bougard has passed away. He used to play for the Minnesota Wild. So that's why Michael Russo, who writes for the Minneapolis Star Tribune and covers the Wild, got that information first. And so we want to pass along our condolences to Derek Bougard's family and friends. We don't know that many details because the news just came out about 12 hours ago or whatever, 14 hours ago. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to pass that along. And, you know, it's sad news. The hockey world has lost someone, one of their own. So we wanted to just, you know, pass along those
condolences to the family.
Right.
So we were right up against the clock here. What we're going to do now is go to our favorite segment, Cheers and Jeers.
Cheers.
Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stinks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Leah's first.
Ladies first. All right. Well, my cheer is to the Manitoba Moose. They wrapped up their season in Game 7 with a loss to Hamilton in triple overtime. They lost by a score of 2-1. It was a heck of a game. They gave it everything they had, just came up a little short. And the fact of the matter is, we've been talking about it all show, if the NHL does return, that could have been the Manitoba Moose's last game in their 15-year history here within the province. If it is, what a history it was. Didn't quite get the Calder Cup that everybody wanted, but the fact is they gave us a few good runs. They've given us hockey in this province on a professional level for the last 15, and they had a heck of a season. It was a lot of fun to watch, and that 7-game series against Hamilton, dynamite. So my cheers to Manitoba Moose. Congratulations. Triple OT, unreal. Congratulations.
Was it true that was the first time that a Game 7 in the AHL had ever gone to triple overtime? Someone tweeted that. I don't know if it's
It could
it's
be.
True.
I'm thinking I've only been covering it for 5 years.
Right.
And I've never seen that. But I know it was the longest game in Manitoba Moose history. I know that for sure.
Okay. Good tweet. I amen that tweet. Tweet. I'm so...
You're so dialed into
social media. No, that was a very good cheer, I should say. I'm going to cheer Patrick Marleau. And I think the reason I'm going to cheer Patrick Marleau is because even though he might have not had a very good series, he took it pretty hard from Jeremy Roenick. And I'll repeat what I said. I'm a huge Roenick fan back in the days when he played and as a broadcaster. We've tried to get him on this show before, too. And I'm not saying that what he said was anything. I'm just saying that congratulations, and my cheer goes to him for going on the ice after being called gutless.
And, didn't have a choice about going on the ice, but yeah.
Right, but scoring that winning goal, good for him. And, you know, the Sharks are going to give the Canucks a run for their money. So good for him. He got it done when he needed it to get it done. Simple as that. Dave, who's your cheer or jeer?
I kind of want to give a split cheer and a split cheer right now. Okay? My split cheer. One, my first one is to Chris Mason. Great interview.
Yep.
Love the honesty. I really appreciated everything that he had to say in the interview. My other cheer is to Ezra Ginsberg for hosting and filling Drew Mandel's shoes.
Look,
I thought
at
he did a great job. The second time Ezzy's hosted a show.
With Dave by my side.
That's right. And yep. You were great. So
our last show was, and Tim, obviously.
Yeah, and Tim.
And Leah now is third time on our show.
Third time, yes.
Leah's definitely better
time.
Than Michael Remus.
It's funny. I never know what to call, like, when I'm called a guest analyst, and Richie's called the lead analyst. So whenever I say, like, who's going to be on the show, it's always tough for me to say, okay, yeah, Leah and Dave are going to be joining me. Yeah, it's kind of like it's pretty much we're the new Illegal Curve show.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much what it is.
The new IC, as we like to call it.
So Tim's giving me the signal. We're right against the time here. So I want to thank all of our guests today. Starting with Ari Baum-Cohn, our Illegal Curve gambling expert, Darren Ford of JetsOwner.com, Gabe Desjardins, BehindTheNetHockey.com analyst, and Chris Mason of the Atlanta Thrashers, who joined us as our last guest at 11:30. So keep listening to Illegal Curve on Sports Radio 1290. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. For Leah and Dave, Richie and Drew, who are in Minneapolis, Remus, who I believe is on his way to the studio shortly to party, maybe. Thanks for listening, and I guess I'll say good afternoon and good luck.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk Saturday morning at 9, exclusively on Sports Radio 1290.